Okay, we will begin this informal hearing. The case is Montana Dakota Utilities, case number PU-22-400 on the Generation Resource Recovery Rider. It is January 11th at 1:32 p.m. I am Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission. Along with me is our Commissioners Haugen Hoffert and Fedorchak. I don't have any opening comments. Do either of you?
No.
Okay. So with that, I want to emphasize it's an informal hearing. It involves only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we'll wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first after we first go around the table and get on the record, everyone in attendance. So if you please make sure your microphones are on green and announce your attendance.
Rob Frank, staff.
Victor Shelton, staff.
Tara VC. I apologize. Are you? Oh. Tara VC, Regulatory Affairs.
Allison Walden, in-house counsel for MDU.
Nathan Benson, MDU, Regulatory Affairs.
Travis Jacobson, also Regulatory Affairs.
Michaela Knodel, also Regulatory Affairs.
Okay, the applicant goes first, so I don't know who's going to start us off, but go right ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon. I'm here today representing Montana Dakota Utilities. Montana Dakota is here to discuss its Generation Resource Recovery Rider, Rate 56, in relation to case number PU-22-400. The company has prepared a presentation to further elaborate on its requests made in this case. With that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Thiessy, who will provide the company's presentation today. She invites the commissioners to ask questions as they come up.
Okay. We're usually pretty good at that.
Tara, how do you spell your last name?
V-E-S-E-Y.
Thank you.
No problem. So just to cover the agenda today, obviously Allison was nice enough to make the introductions. We're going to talk about an overview of the filing, do a comparison of this particular filing to the prior filing, and talk about proposed rates. And so if we go on to slide three, the Generation Resource Recovery Rider, or GRR is what we call it internally, is what we're here to discuss. And as you may be aware, we filed this, but as just a friendly reminder, we did file this on November 1st, and this request is for just over $3.1 million to be collected over the next year with a proposed effective date of February 1st. That $3.1 million reflects a January to December 23 revenue requirement, a true-up of the costs and revenues that we projected in last year's filing, and does represent a decrease of just shy of $256,000 from the current rates.
An increase of 256, is that?
Actually, a decrease
of 256.
Yeah, 255,912 is what it actually is, but just shy of the 256. And so on the next slide, you can see what's included in this filing, and essentially it's the revenue requirement for the Lewis and Clark Rice units that we have historically included in this filing. It also includes a financial incentive related to the power purchase agreement, and included in this filing is also a request to modify the financial incentive rate to the five-year treasury rate. As we were talking about that incentive rate and had discussions with commission staff, we recognized that it would take a commission action to change that incentive rate, and so we are proposing that within this filing and wanted to go ahead and discuss that. I have some information on that in a later slide in more detail. And then it also includes a true-up of the prior year recovery. So on slide 5, you may recognize this type of slide, which is something we typically do, taking and comparing this current filing to the prior year's filing. And you can see that ultimately it is a pretty flat filing as far as dollars from the previous years. Again, a slight decrease of $256,000, and most of that is related to the Rice unit and related to some depreciation.
So just to clarify for me, are the accelerated depreciation amounts for the closure or for the retirement of Lewis and Clark, are they included in the Rice unit stuff, or is that a separate line someplace?
Right now, that information that's provided in the filing is provided kind of on an information only, so that you can, because that revenue is still being collected in our base rates, because we haven't done our case yet. So that's why it's showing that there's no revenue requirement on those exhibits, because just for transparency, we want you to show you how that amortization schedule is moving along, but we aren't collecting any revenue on it. Once the currently filed electric case is completed, and assuming that we receive approval to do so, we would then file a subsequent filing on this docket where we would essentially take the Rice units and move it into the base rates, and we would take the amortization of the Heskett units 1 and 2 and Lewis and Clark unit 1, or the coal units, and move those into the resource recovery rider.
Thank you. You have no idea how many times I reread everything to try to understand that.
Well, it's so
okay,
funny.
Okay, it's so clear now, and you did it. You did explain it that way, but it just wasn't resonating with me, so thank you.
We were talking about it the same thing. We're like, well, we've got it, because how can you all remember, you know?
Where we did, like, what we did when.
Yeah.
And the what we'll see in the, if like we went to the filings of the rate case right now, we would see how much you've been collecting for the, in the amortization of those.
Right. You would see that where it was and where we proposed it go. And the reason that we'd like it to move from base rates into the resource recovery is because then when those units are fully amortized, and then that's just an elimination of that expense within the resource, the generation resource recovery. We don't have to do another rate case to get them off of our base rates, and it happens, you know, automatically.
Okay, great, thank you.
Any other questions on slide 5?
I have one more if you don't.
Go ahead.
The revenue requirement for the financial incentive, what is the incentive rate you used for that?
That is the proposed 4.06%.
Okay.
But I do have information at the 0.79 later on in the slide deck.
Okay. That was what was approved, the 0.07.
Yeah, 0.79 is what was approved, yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I'll wait till that slide then.
Any other questions on this one? So,
quick question, just to clarify, that does include the 0.79 rate for the years of, for the little bit of portion from 21 and 22?
That is correct.
And then beginning in 23?
That at 23, it would go to the 4.06.
Was it February 23 when that changes?
Yeah, it was February. So on the next slide, slide 6, you can see how this $3.133 million revenue requirement is reflected in the proposed rates versus the current rates that are the rates that are currently in effect. And the change that you can see is a slight decrease for all of the customers. You can see that for the residential customers, it's a 0.014 cent per kilowatt hour, which essentially equates out to about 13 cents a month or $1.56 annually. So a decrease, a slight decrease, but a decrease. So on the next slide is kind of where we wanted to talk about the PPA financial incentive rate. You know, during the formal and informal conversations regarding the incentive. There, we talked a lot about the risk-free rate associated with this particular PPA, and I know that there was a lot of conversation related to how that would be the most appropriate portion to apply to this particular filing. And so what we are proposing at this point, because so much has changed since that initial filing took place in relationship to the five-year treasury rate, our proposal within this at this time is to request that we change that that order, because we are sensitive to the fact that the order clearly stated the 0.79%, but we would request that that be changed to include the monthly five-year treasury rate so that we could apply a rate for the forward portion, and then in the true-up we would come back and apply the actual monthly rate to make that the most appropriate space.
I don't even have a question on that at this point, but I have to think about it more. So I may later. Right?
So, I apologize. Right. So the treasury rate at the time it was approved, that was the rate.
It was, and since then we've really seen a upward spike, obviously, and you know our costs to borrow have increased.
Interest.
Yeah. Right. Have increased in line, and so the idea is if we put it to the actual, we'll essentially ride any peaks and valleys that it might be, you know, so that it's more in tune with what that rate currently is versus what it was at a given moment in time to be applied throughout the rest of the incentive time period.
So the snapshot of the 4.6 is current, like to date, or what date was that?
That was right before we filed. I want to say it was like October 27th or something is when I looked at it. So
I'm just curious, do you know what it is today?
I looked just before I came, and it was in the high threes, like 3.7 or something like that for today's.
Right.
You know, I didn't.
Because it's gone down.
Yeah, it has gone down. Mm-hmm. And that would be why we would suggest that we would true up, come back and true up to the actual monthly rate.
It seems like it's been a long time since interest rates were changing, like, you know, with the speed that they have been the last half a year. But is there old history in that when rates were dropping quickly? Did the commission do things in riders to make adjustments that quickly, or did it wait till a rate case, or what's been the history of that when changes were dramatic?
So this is very similar to our PGA.
What's and that?
We
PGA stand for?
Purchase gas adjustment.
Okay.
For on the gas side, our deferral. We use, in that particular case, a 30-day treasury, but we update that every month. And so it does follow. You know, so as it's going down, you know, we track that down. And then so we update that based on the average every month. And we've done that for, in all of my memory. So
on the gas side, have you ever done it, just historically looking at it, had a request like this before?
I don't know that we've had anything similar to this.
I always go back to the 80s when prices were.
Right.
You know, so I just get a, okay.
Yeah, I don't think we had the mechanisms back then, though. You know, fuel is a part of your rate and different things, so our structure is just entirely different.
Sure.
But, yeah, like I say, it is very similar to how we treat and have treated our PGAs. Again, just updating for actuals each month.
And that is not a very apples-to-apples comparison to this, in my opinion. Just in terms of, like, your cost of gas is an actual cost that you guys are outlaying every month. For the gas you're purchasing for the customers, and that fluctuates wildly. This was a financial incentive that you're earning on a decision that you had already made before you got the incentive. So I mean, did we include in the order language that said a flux, like to follow the incentive, the 5-year treasury rate?
The order does say the 0.79%. I mean, the order
so
talks about
provide for the ever changing. And you guys, this is worthwhile enough for you to go in every single month and make a change for like the. I mean, this is a very small amount of money. Why are you fussing with it? I don't understand. I have to be honest.
Well, I guess at the incentive hearing, there was talk about the risk-free rate. So that's why we did. And the risk-free rate at that time was representative of the risk-free rate at that time. That's no longer the case. So I do agree. It's not a significant piece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would look at if we were to enter into this in the future, how would that be handled? And, you know, there was some talk at that same hearing that, you know, what we do in this particular docket may influence how these things roll forward. So I do agree. It is a small amount.
Well, I mean, not to revisit that docket a bunch, but I don't have a problem providing a decent incentive for something that's an incentive. This just wasn't needed to get you guys into that power purchase agreement, so it was kind of intentionally set low. And so I will think about this. I didn't catch this particular piece in the filing either as clearly as it is now, so I'll think about it and talk to staff, but I'm inclined to keep it with the rate that was set in the order right now, anyway.
I'll say, so we don't have advocacy on this case yet, but if I get the indication the commission is seriously considering the alternative higher rate, I think that would assign advocacy staff.
Okay.
And we would likely have a formal hearing, just to kind of throw that out there.
Okay.
Okay, Terry, I think we can go on.
Okay.
I don't think there's discussion is done on it, but I think probably everything that anyone has to say now.
That's fair. Thank you. Mm-hmm. On the next slide, slide 8, this is where we are showing the rates comparison. And essentially that first column is the rate, what the customer's rate would be at the 0.79%. The second would be at the 4.06%, and then compared to the current rates that you see at hand. And just to kind of make it a little clearer, at the 0.79 recovery rate, it does decrease the financial incentive by $27,683, but the monthly and annual impact to the customer would remain unchanged. And that is it for us today.
So Tara, just to clarify, so if I take the 34988 that is included on page 5 as the revenue requirement for the financial incentive, subtract 27683, that would be the amount that
you're
going to
get. 7305. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
So I don't know how much slide 7 impacts this question, but my question coming in here was, The monthly increase amount is based on February 1st implementation date, right?
That is correct, yes.
And so our next commission meeting is the 25th. If an order were approved on the 25th, is that time for you to do your technical stuff before a February 1st implementation date? Or are we already talking about a different implementation date then?
I don't mean to look down. I was just looking at a calendar.
February 25th.
That gives
25th.
A week. Yeah. No, January 25th.
January 25th
yeah.
is our meeting.
That gives a week.
But this is supposed the whole plan. Your plan was for implementation February 1st, less than a week later.
Yeah, if we get a decision on that day, we can implement. Yeah.
But if we do not plan a decision on that day, then everything just ticks up a little bit because the implementation would be less months.
Yep. but we're not changing the rate very much, so it's really, it would be a minimal impact if it were March 1.
And the impact would be an ultimately lower rate since it's a decrease. So the longer we wait, the lower it goes.
We can't afford to do it soon.
Where are people going to spend that 13 cents?
Are there any other questions or?
We can't afford to spend any more time on this.
Okay, then I would just ask if there are any objections to the evidence produced becoming part of the official record. And by the evidence, I'm talking about both the slide presentation and our recording with all of our oral, with all of your oral testimony and discussion. Any objections?
No objection.
Okay. With that being the case, the evidence will become part of the record upon which a final decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record?
I don't believe so.
Okay. We are closed. Thank you, everyone.